Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, a bright and sunny Saturday. Spring is here. Hello, hello. My favorite hour each week. Today's show: low thyroid, low sex drive, adrenal exhaustion. All three tend to go together. The question is why? The question is how can we further our understanding? The question is how can we cut through the muck of allopathic medicine, other than Synthroid and a couple of other fairly useless hormone supplements? Low thyroid, low sex drive, adrenal exhaustion, not well understood, but on the tip of everybody's tongue. Why? Well, the honest truth, we have Synthroid for low thyroid. Once we find a solution, everybody's going to have the problem, and everybody's going to get tested for it. When was the last time you went to a medical doctor and got told you had low adrenals? Of course you didn't, because there's no real solution. Not one generally accepted. Not for low adrenals in the allopathic method. But when was the last time you went to a holistic practitioner and heard adrenal exhaustion? Well, just about every single time. And why is that? Because we have nutritional solutions. Or supposedly we have nutritional solutions. The sex hormone thing, low sex drive. Well, we've got splendid attacks on it from either side. Allopathy is quick to respond with hormone replacement therapy. And holistic medicine, herbally or otherwise, is quick to respond with hormone replacement therapy. Whether you've got low thyroid or low sex drive, both sides of the fence, both camps, your average MD at Kaiser and your holistic practitioner have solutions. Adrenal exhaustion, as I said, well, that's the exception. Your medical doctors generally, unless they're holistically oriented, don't care about it because there's no pharmacological solution, at least that's relied upon for adrenal exhaustion. Holistic people take up the slack because everybody's got adrenal exhaustion or adrenal fatigue or adrenal something. Today's show is about why most of it doesn't work. Yes, thank you. Once again, a humble contribution. In my experience, the sex drive, the thyroid, and the adrenals, and the nutritional solutions don't cut it. Well, they don't cut it enough. Not to say it doesn't help a little. It doesn't get you to first base, but it doesn't get you where you want to go. And there's a reason for that. Your glandular system. Name your gland. Adrenal, thyroid, testes, ovaries, you name it, is controlled by a deeper, more important mechanism in your body that has nothing to do with giving you an herb or giving you a pharmaceutical. It's called the autonomic nervous system. And today's show is really about how autonomic imbalance destroys your endocrine system. You made me do this show because I think there's a big, big, big space to improve here and to really, really absorb more about what we mean by the endocrine system, the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, terms I always use, often harp on, and yet it doesn't seem to stop the onslaught of concern about what nutrient or what drug should I take for my low thyroid, low sex drive, and adrenal exhaustion. So I'm going to hammer it home as usual today. Happy Saturday to you. Not that this is news. Let's go to the bottom of the page. By the way, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, if you didn't know. StraightTalk.cc, two T's, .cc, not .com. Please get on the website. Very important to see the pictures. Bravo if you can get by without that. But I strongly urge you to get on the website to see the pictures. Pictures tell thousands of words. Makes everybody's job easier. Go to picture 51. There it is. Autonomic imbalance in the hypothalamus. Implications for physiology, medicine, psychology, and neuropsychiatry. I've got the book in my hand right now. I bought it off Amazon. It was $125. The book was written by the infamous Ernst Gellhorn, MD, PhD, a scientist, a true man of learning. Okay? Book was written in the 50s, researched in the 40s and the 50s. Big stuff. Whole point of the book. The whole point of the book. There's no other point in the book. Believe me, it's not a book about supplements. It's a book to tell you that before you look at your faulty gland, that ovary that's not pumping out the estrogen, that adrenal gland that's not pumping out the adrenaline, that thyroid gland that's not giving you the T4 you want, before you look at the gland, look at the hypothalamus gland and the autonomic nervous system. Now, you may know that. Certainly many of you who religiously listen to this show have a good sense of this. Those of you who are new, you have no sense of this. And many of you who listen often enough still have no sense of this, because these are deep meanings. These are things you have to attach to. So let's attach to this more deeply. First, trusting and understanding that from the beginning in science, we have always understood the gland that you have so much concern about, the gland you're told is low or high, the thyroid, the adrenal, the ovary, the thymus, the liver, the pancreas, whatever that gland is. Bottom line, it's under the control of other mechanisms that are far more important than the gland itself. Here it is, 1957, Gellhorn's publishing. The whole book is on this. Okay, I'm on good solid ground here. Let's turn this into something truly enjoyable. Well, you know, I didn't plan to say it like this, but look, picture 51, just go to the right. Look at picture 52. Now do that. Go 51, 52, 51, 52. Go back and forth, and there it is. The two opposing factions of the world. A Qi master from China and Ernst Gellhorn, MD, PhD, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, wherever he went. Supposition here, I submit to you, they're saying the same thing. Only the guy on the right, the Chinese guy, with the steel rods in his hand there, the iron rods in his hand or whatever they are, he's got a more functional understanding of what to do about it. Gellhorn understands the mechanisms in scientific detail and the functional mechanisms because he's an experimenter. He plays with the rats or the monkeys. But the guy on the right, the Chinese guy, he knows what to do about it. I want you to take that into yourself. I want you to take that into yourself. Because we're going to cover both sides of the fence today. Let's start with the Gellhorn side. Let's go all the way up to the top of the page. Picture number two. There it is. Two divisions of a bunch of wires that go to your organs that are constantly shifting between speed that organ up and slow that organ down, and speed that organ up and slow it down. Sympathetic, parasympathetic. If you already know this, listen even harder today, because you have to know it more deeply. This is where, when you get your blood work from Kaiser and it says your thyroid is imbalanced, low or high, that's where you have to be looking, not at Synthroid. When you find out your adrenals are exhausted, look at this picture. Not the picture of the herb you're about to purchase to help your adrenals. This is where you got to go. because there's a set of wires in the body, nerve fibers, wires, that go to each and every organ gland of the body. In this case, we're going to focus on the glands. And these wires work in reciprocity with each other. One wire speeds up and makes the gland work, pump out what it's supposed to pump out. That's the sympathetic nervous system. And the other set of wires slows down that organ and allows that endocrine gland to rest and repair. So when you call on it again, it can spit it out at high speed. That's called the autonomic nervous system, the two divisions of which are the slow down one, rest and cure, parasympathetic, and the speed up one, spit it out and go really fast. It's important to understand these are real things. So go down to picture 14. Oh, that guy, Joe, did you hear that guy, that poor guy? Doctor said he was doing just fine. Cardiac results came back perfectly. We can't understand why he had a heart attack. He was only 56 years old. Had a massive heart attack yesterday. Just got cleared by his cardiologist. Cholesterol was normal. Perfect. That picture there, 14, there's the heart. The blue are the parasympathetic fibers. The yellow are the sympathetic fibers. Those are real fibers. And they're in balance with each other. And when you're getting too much, when that heart is getting too much sympathetic impetus, too much sympathetic signals, you burn out those cells. Those cells are told to work, 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 and work. The sympathetic nerve is a whip, and the heart becomes a slave to that whip. And that sympathetic nerve impetus just whips the heart, and those cells begin to fry. They begin to oxidize, free radicalize, fall apart. Their membranes tear out. They don't get a chance to rest and repair, which means that heart is under a sympathetic dominant impetus. And I want you to get a little subtlety here. You can be generally sympathetic dominant, meaning you can be sending out speeded up impulses all over the body, or you can send out speeded up impulses to a certain part of the body. It can get complicated. Those of you familiar with the show, let me give you a subtlety. The heart can be normal and balanced, but the thyroid gland highly imbalanced. The whole body can be doing just fine, but the ovaries can be in a state of chaos, sympathetic dominant chaos at all time. It's the job of the practitioner. It's the job of the doctor when they profile the client, the patient, to determine which parts are balanced, which parts are sympathetic dominant. There's ways of doing that. This allows the doctor to understand which glands are going to go out and which aren't, which organs are going to go down and which aren't. But in general, every organ, every gland, in this case, low thyroid or high thyroid, low adrenals or urine adrenal overdrive, and even low and high sex hormone. But most of us are going low on all three. After 50, that is. That's you that I'm talking to. You that have been told all three. I see this all the time on the intake forms. Low thyroid, low adrenals, low sex drive. You know it as I'm fatigued, I'm listless, I'm lethargic, I'm malaise, I have no libido. That's how you know it. You can't lose weight. This sort of thing. Okay. Pictures say 1,000 words. Let's keep going. Now, let's introduce another term, feedback loops. Terms some of you should be familiar with. Go to picture number 4. The thyroid has a feedback loop. The testes and the ovaries have feedback loops. The adrenals have feedback loops. Simple statement for the following. Picture 4. What the thyroid makes, T4, or what the liver spits out, T3, goes low, a message goes up to the hypothalamus, And I'll show you pictures of the hypothalamus in a moment. And that signal through the nerves and through the blood to the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is getting two inputs through the blood and through the nerves to the hypothalamus from the thyroid. And the hypothalamus takes that information in and says, too little thyroxine or too much? Either way, the thyroid then sends a message to the pituitary, which sends a message back to the thyroid, and it tells the thyroid to slow down if there's too much thyroxine or speed up if there's not enough. So in any given moment, if you name the gland, thyroid, testes, adrenal, ovary, pancreas, if you name the gland, in any given moment, the hypothalamus is being told there's too much or too little, and the hypothalamus is reacting. This is nonstop, 24/7, done at the speed of light, or thereabout. You got to get that one. So you there, you, low thyroid, low libido, low energy, or one of the three, or all of the three, or none of the three, but soon to be some of the three. When you find on your blood work that you've got some sort of an issue, or you're told somehow you've got some sort of an issue, and here's the supplement, here's the herb, here's the drug, go to the autonomic nerves first. There is no discussion. If you read Gellhorn, that book I just referred to, there's no such thing as talking about the glandular system without talking about the autonomic nervous system and the hypothalamus. Because the hypothalamus is receiving inputs from the autonomic nerves and sending outputs through the autonomic system to the gland. And this is being done all the time. That's who you really are. You are not low thyroid or high thyroid. You're not low adrenal. You're not low testosterone. You are your autonomic nervous system in cahoots with your hypothalamus gland. Let's deepen this. Because, of course, human nature is, the doctor told me my thyroid's low and I need to take thyroxine. My herbal practitioner told me my adrenals are fatigued. I need to take something to pump it up. And again, I'm not saying that there aren't emergency cases, and I'm not saying that these things are necessarily bad to do. But I'm saying that is the icing on the cake. That is the tip of the iceberg. And I'm saying if you leave out this discussion of the hypothalamus and the autonomic nervous system, and you just lend the health of your body, of your endocrine system, to the herb or the pharmaceutical, you're going to be disappointed. You are disappointed. You will forever be disappointed. No matter how many practitioners you go see, doctors you go see, you're going to be left out in the cold on this. America needs to get a deeper understanding of what Gellhorn was talking about in 1957. Or what the Qigong masters and the yogics have understood for a long, long, long time. Okay, we're opening your hypothalamic centers right now. You're sensing there's something here for you. You've just tuned in, and you're hearing a tone in my voice that tells you there's no radio show like this, because there isn't. And something inside you knows there's truth here. You see, that's all mediated through the high centers of yourself. So the thyroid functions with this feedback loop. And there's picture six. Just another version of the thyroid feedback loop. Good. Now go to picture number seven. We're going to talk about picture seven now, the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal cortex. The adrenal gland, that's the cortex, and the inside of the adrenal medulla. The outside there, the cortex, the adrenal cortex, that's spitting out aldosterone and cortisol. all-important anti-inflammatory hormone. Done shows on what we mean by inflammation. All disease begins with inflammation. Stop inflammation, you never get to the disease point. That's the adrenal cortex. The medulla, that's your adrenaline. That's baby trapped in car and mother lifts up 4,000 pounds. That's people with thick necks and big jaws have bigger adrenals. They last longer. The rock falls on their head and they don't know anything happened. They think the wind blew. The adrenal gland is in a feedback loop with the hypothalamus and the pituitary. When cortisol drops, the hypothalamus is notified, sends messages through the pituitary to the adrenal to pick it up, and vice versa. Again, those messages are mediated through sympathetic and parasympathetic nerve fibers. Very important to get that. Those messages are mediated through sympathetic and parasympathetic nerve fibers. Let's look at picture 19. We love the pictures, don't we? Picture 19. Great picture. Kidneys and the two yellow things are the little teeny weeny adrenal glands. Now look at that at the top of that picture, 19. Posterior vagus nerve. Vagus. The vagus nerve, as many of you know, is the parasympathetic nerve, cranial nerve 10. It delivers all the slow down, rest, and repair impetus. Tells all your organs and your glands, in this case the thyroid, also the adrenal, any of your target glands. The posterior vagus, the vagus says to the gland, relax. It shuts off the splanchnic nerves, left greater splanchnic, left lesser splanchnic. Those are the sympathetic nerves. So when you've got to sprint that 100-yard dash, the vagus nerve, parasympathetic nerve, shuts off, so to speak, and the sympathetic one speeds up because you want that burst of adrenaline. When the building begins to shake and you run out into the street to escape the falling building, anytime you step on the gas, metaphorically, that's because sympathetic fibers shoot from your brain down to your adrenal gland via the sympathetic nerves. If you cut those nerves, if you cut the sympathetic nerves, if you cut the splanchnic nerve, if you cut the celiac ganglion to the adrenal gland, and you saw that you needed to sprint, you couldn't sprint. Your body just wouldn't kick into high gear. You wouldn't have the feeling if you cut the sympathetic nerve. Now, if the sympathetic nerve just keeps going and the parasympathetic doesn't take its place, if the balance between the two is such that the sympathetic dominates the parasympathetic, well, then that gland never slows down. That's a big deal. It's appropriate. Health is balance between speed up and slow down. Speed up and slow down, rest and repair is really what we're talking about. Speed up means function. Do your function. Slow down means rest and repair. So it's really not speed up and slow down. It's do your function, do it faster, do it better, put out more, and rest and repair so you can speed up function, go out and do your thing. So sympathetic is do the job. Parasympathetic is rest and relax and repair. These are actual nerves to each and every gland in the body. Look at picture 18. Okay, you've had enough of this. There's the sympathetic fibers to the thyroid. Those of you who go hyperthyroid, Graves' disease, right? Autoimmune thyroiditis, Hashimoto's, all these concerns are always invariably tied in with autonomic dysregulation. Just like Gellhorn said, autonomic imbalance in the hypothalamus. We were on this 60, 70, 80 years ago, longer than that. So there's your thyroid. There's your adrenal. there's your heart. And of course, the parasympathetic fibers are all delivered through the vagus nerve. Now, I know I don't need to say that to many of you, but a lot of you are new. Go to picture 16. There's that vagus nerve. Yes, yes, we're going to talk about solutions. At least we're going to identify blockages to the balance of this autonomic nervous system. We're going to identify blockages to the hypothalamus. And many of the solutions I've already done on the show. But there's picture 16, the vagus nerve. That nerve is delivering the parasympathetic fibers, the rest repair fibers to the entire body. But we're talking glands now, especially. So go up to picture number 2 again. Left side under parasympathetic, look for vagus nerve. Look at that vagus nerve coming out of the brainstem there. The vagus nerve, all those lines coming off the vagus nerve. And then there's also parasympathetic fibers in the sacrum. Between the vagus nerve in the neck and the parasympathetic fibers coming off the sacrum, you have embodied the entire electrical system, giving direction to repair, rest, and regeneration to the entire body. Now let's just stick to the glands, though. It means if you want to talk about, doctor, I have a low thyroid and I'm listless and I'm losing my hair and my skin is dry. And doctor, I have adrenal exhaustion and I can't move and yet I'm nervous all the time. Doctor, I have no libido, no sex drive. I have poor erectile function. I have no holding capacity. Doctor, my sex drive, my adrenaline, and my thyroid are all imbalanced. If you want to talk about that, you think in terms of why those tissues are not repairing. That's really the bottom line. Now, you've heard me do many shows on all sorts of toxicological issues and otherwise, and it's not to detract from the significance of those, but in our understanding of this, we are giving so much emphasis on toxicity and herbs and the rest of it. And if you allocate these things to people, if you watch people work with these solutions, you really don't see the return you want to see. Now, that's my typically incorrect political statement to make as a holistic practitioner. But I love the opportunity to be on air to tell you. I know I'm pretty good at what I do. And I can tell you that if I were going to try to work out the glandular system in people simply through nutritional practices, I would truly be at a loss. And I think there's way too much emphasis on the nutritional solution or the pharmacological solution. Herbs, of course, being superior to the drugs unless you have an acute crisis situation. And of course, stringing it all together, you know my perspective. Drugs are great. We love drugs. We love C. Bagaiki. We love drug companies when drugs are appropriate. We love herbs when herbs are appropriate. But when we have physiological systems, the autonomic nervous system and the glandular system, meaning the hypothalamus, that run your thyroid, run your adrenal, run the ovary, and we put all the emphasis not on that, but on the drug or the herb, we're making the mistake. Now, I know some people are listening going, yeah, but you said that already 5 times. Good, I'm going to say it 10 times. Because that's the way it works. All right. Vagus nerve. There's a big one. It's got to stay open from the neck. It's got to be open in the sacrum. We're going to talk about that later. Now, let's take a look at the hypothalamus gland. This is real big. Let's take a look at the hypothalamus. What do we mean by hypothalamus? Picture number 25. There it is. Hypothalamus. All the small formations of gray matter located beneath the thalamus, controlling the hormonal secretions of the pituitary, that's hypophysis, and the activity of the autonomic nervous system. It's telling you. the secretions of the glandular system, ultimately, most fundamentally, and the function and intelligence that we call the autonomic nervous system, sympathetic, parasympathetic, vagus, etc., are controlled by that space there that picture 25 is pointing to. Now let's blow up the hypothalamus. Go to picture 21. Look at that hypothalamus. Know it when you dissect out the hypothalamus, it doesn't look like that. That's an artist's rendition. Wish it did look like that. It doesn't. Usually by the time you get to the hypothalamus, you realize you've crushed it. You've already destroyed it. Yes, usually that's what happens. Too many people doing dissection. Look at that hypothalamus, but those areas are all different areas controlling different parts of your body. But that is, if we're going to put our finger on one central junction box, we put it there. Picture 27, we're going to go back to that picture. Functions of the hypothalamus, master control of the sympathetic, parasympathetic, autonomic, master control of the endocrine system, regulation of body temperature, control of emotional behavior, control of food intake, water intake, regulation of sleep, wake, circadian rhythms. Look at picture 28. Control of the autonomic nervous system. Hypothalamus is major control center. It's going to come back all to that place right there, picture number 21. That's big. The implications of that are so big. Because you were told last week your thyroid's low. And you're considering thyroxine or an herbal solution. And you were told your adrenals are exhausted. And you over there, you were told that your sex hormones are way imbalanced. And you're thinking about hormone replacement therapy. Right, this means you. And you're just skirting the issue. And you're going to go out and spend money skirting the issue. And you're not going to get great results. I promise you, you will not get great results. Which is not to say, if you've got some disposable cash, that good nutraceutical or herbal solutions are not worth an investment. But if you don't understand what I'm talking about, you're going to be disappointed. So look at the magnificence of that area, that hypothalamus. Let's go up to picture number one. Go up to picture one. Autonomic control. Here's a little map. And that little map is showing sympathetic and parasympathetic fibers going into the hypothalamus and away from the hypothalamus. That's into and away. Into the hypothalamus, away from the hypothalamus. There it is. We map these things out for you. We can't possibly be making this up. Now, that hypothalamus has relationships to lots of other parts of the brain. That hypothalamus is under control of other things, too. We could say that the hypothalamus is where the soul resides. We could get really nifty and esoteric and spiritual. But, of course, that has nothing to do with science. And so we won't go there. We'll just stick to the science. We'll just stick to things that are more tangible. But then again, we have a problem when we consider that emotions, which we know are integrally related to what we call the limbic system. The limbic system, why don't you do this? Why don't you go to picture 23? Not to get too esoteric and spiritual, but the limbic system there. Part of that limbic system is the hypothalamus. So is the cingulate gyrus. So is the hippocampus. So is the amygdala. Don't you love that word, amygdala? A-M-Y, Amy G. Dalla, amygdala, hypothalamus, cingulate gyrus, fornix, hippocampus. That hypothalamus is in integration with other parts of the brain, part of the limbic system. When Candace Pert, Molecules of Emotion, is trying to say to people that the rate at which you lose your sight, the rate at which you develop a cancer in your liver, the rate at which your adrenal burns out, the rate at which you get your thyroid cut out because it went high, or you live on Synthroid the rest of your life because the hypothyroid, because the thyroid is too low, the rate at which all decay occurs is related to the limbic system as it is the mediator of the emotional content of the tissue. Candace Pert, who I hope one day is redeemed for her genius, Molecules of Emotion, and much more. But what the point is that when we talk about the hypothalamus as controlling the autonomic nerves, you can't separate that from a discussion of the emotional body. The emotions, and how far does that, how far does the word emotion sit from the word the soul? The spiritual aspect of the person, the consciousness. Stated otherwise, you live in anger, you destroy your glandular system. You have a low thyroid, you got depressed before the thyroid went low. You have a high thyroid, you were anxiety ridden before the thyroid went low, went high. The sex drive. Before the ovary and the balance of sex hormones went off, your psyche went off. You cannot separate the function of the gland from the psyche, from the emotion. The psycho-spiritual you is the limbic system, is the hypothalamus, which means is the autonomics, which means is the gland. That's right. So the next time you go to Kaiser and they test your blood and your TSH is high and your thyroid's low, your doctor's going to say, Joe, have you been depressed? Have you been lethargic? And when Joe says, of course, instead of the doctor saying, well, that's because your thyroid's low, your doctor's going to say, Joe, that depression and lethargy made the thyroid low. Now, if you can take that in, you just earned a degree in medicine. That's worth all the tea in China. That's big. Before your adrenals went into high gear and then exhaustion, your psyche went into high gear and exhaustion. When we treat the gland, we only treat the symptom. Well, not me. I don't go to those medical doctors. No, I'm talking about in holistic medicine. When you get an herb for a gland, you're not treating the cause. You're treating the symptom with the herb. You can treat the symptom with the drug. You can treat the symptom with the herb. It's probably better to treat the symptom with the herb. But you're still only treating the symptom. We have to come to terms with that. You have to remember that when you go into shock because your blood work says your sex hormones aren't there. I mean, this happens all the time. People, I have no sex hormones. They did this complete and total endocrine profile, and I'm not making anything anymore. What can I do? Lady, you can relax. Yeah, but I don't know what relaxation is. Well, that's the journey. That's the cost-effective journey you're about to go on. Oh, yes, I know how to relax. I have a glass of wine at night and I read a book. No, you're relaxing and that's a nice step, but you're not hitting critical mass. You're not changing the physiology of your body. And until you do, what your version of relaxation is isn't going to cut it. More harshly stated, lady, you're delusional about what it means to relax. You think you know, you have no clue. My doctor said it's all in my head. I need to relax. You see, these are these words we throw around. They don't have functional meanings. They may have, excuse me, they may have theoretical, they may have a theoretical meaning, but they don't have functional meanings. All right, I didn't want to diverge about the emotions because it's not part of science, but it is. Read Candace Pert, read Molecules of Emotion, understand the limbic system, know that the hypothalamus is part of the limbic system, and understand that before the gland goes, the emotions went. And also understand, as the Chinese and Vedics understand, and Egyptian, meaning the ancient Middle East. I don't mean anything current. When I refer to the East, China, India, the Middle East, I'm not referring to anything younger than 5,000 to 8,000 years ago. I'm talking about thousands of years ago. Let's not quibble. All of this stuff in Indian medicine, in Chinese medicine, in Middle Eastern medicine, in American Indian medicine, really died out a long time ago. And it's being resurrected little by little. But whether you talk about ancient Eastern medicine or Candace Pert, they're saying the same thing. And that is your emotions burn out your glands, not the other way around. You're not depressed because your thyroid's low. It's the other way around. Your thyroid's low because you were depressed. Very important to understand that. Okay. Now, what are we going to do about this? Because definitely someone's going to call up later and say, I have low thyroid. What supplement should I take? And then I'm going to fall off my chair. But that's okay. We have to give love. Let's take a look here. Let's take a look at picture 34. First concept. Okay, this is part two, what to do about it, other than understand part one. Look at that, picture 34. Those are the bones of your skull. Those bones have joints. In 1900, the English said those joints are not movable. In 1900, there was a debate between England and Italy. And England said those sutures do not move. And the Italians said those sutures do move. Well, today we certainly know the Italians were correct. We know all the bones of the skull are in some degree of flux. Now, that's important to keep in mind. Why is that? Because we're going to talk about things now that throw off the hypothalamus, that make it stupid. We're going to talk about the factors now that even if the autonomic nerves are putting inputs, signals to the hypothalamus can't read it and can't spit out a solution. We're going to talk about the factors that control the efficiency, the intelligence of your central junction box, the hypothalamic pituitary axis. Number one, we have to know that the pituitary gland sits in a bone called the sphenoid. So let's go to picture 35. That yellow bone there, blow 35 up a little bit once you blow it up more. There's a superior view of the skull. We took off the top of the skull and you're looking down. That yellow bone is called the sphenoid bone. You can pull that bone right out. Let's pull out the sphenoid bone and look at it, picture 32. Go to picture 32. That's the sphenoid bone. That's what it looks like. It looks like a big maw. I have dissected the skull many, many times. In chiropractic school, I had complete run of the anatomy lab due to a good relationship with the ever-gifted Dr. Chavez. And I was able to dissect endlessly by myself as late as I wanted, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Not that the school ever knew that. But I could stay as long as I wanted. I had the keys to the kingdom. So I could pull these sphenoid bones right out. and look at them. Put them in your pocket. Make a keychain out of them. Make relationship with bones of a skull. Let's look at picture 36. Picture 36. That's the skull slightly separated now, and that's the sphenoid bone where your temple is. If you put your finger where the temple is, the temple meaning the soft part just behind the bone of the eye, that's kind of where the sphenoid is. What part of the sphenoid? The wing of the sphenoid. So go to picture 32. See those points? They're called the wings, like fly, wing of the sphenoid bone. Those wings stick out just where the soft spot of your temple is. In cranial work, you can manipulate the sphenoid. You can manipulate the sphenoid with breath. The sphenoid is highly manipulable. It needs to be. Why? Well, the pituitary gland sits in a little groove in the sphenoid. Go to picture 33. The cella turcica, picture 33. That's where the pituitary lives. So the hypothalamus and the pituitary sit in the sphenoid. The sphenoid is under control of the breath. If that breath is patent, hear my shows on breath. If breath works as breath is supposed to work, go to picture number 50. Go to picture 50. See the word ethmoid bone, frontal bone? Picture 50, top right, frontal bone, ethmoid bone. Next to the ethmoid bone, to the left, is the cribriform plate and the crista galla. The cribriform plate is a sinus. Air vibrates that sinus and touches all the dural tissue around the brain down into the sacrum. If the breath functions as the breath is supposed to function, this is why occlusions in the nostril, nasal polyps, deviated septums, broken noses, sinus infections, is so devastating, because you cannot regulate the hypothalamic intelligence. So I'm going to introduce a word. Hypothalamic intelligence. Is it receiving, integrating, interpreting, and spitting out the response to the gland? Is it receiving from the gland and telling the gland what to do with integrity? Breath is key. Breath is key. If your cranial bones are locked up because you clench, breath is key. Clenching, you clenchers. You clenches lock up your cranial bones. The sutures that flex don't flex as well. The sphenoid bone doesn't move as well. The vibration of the head of the skull bones is grossly interfered with when you clench. Go to picture 43. Picture 43, effects of clenching. See the bucky beaver teeth? Effects of bruxism. You see the bucky beaver teeth, how squared off they are? You see healthy teeth? The bucky beaver tooth is rounded. The tooth next to the bucky beaver tooth is rounded. You see on the bruxism side? When you clench and when you grind, but even when you just clench, your teeth go square. Look at picture 44. What a beautiful face, huh? What beautiful teeth. That woman clenches. You see the squareness to those teeth? That's what picture 43 is trying to say. She's turning off her hypothalamus. If she gets a fibroid, there you go. If she gets a lump of the breast, there you go. If her thyroid goes high or low, there you go. If she's adrenally exhausted, there you go. If she's sympathetic dominant, there you go. The whole glandular system is under control, is being limited, because the hypothalamic pituitary axis is psychostructurally compressed, and you can see it in the tooth. Clenching, no good. Picture 41. Anterior head carriage. Picture 41. We call it aging. Along the way, you get disease, and we call it aging. Once that head goes forward, say goodbye to the vagus nerve. It doesn't work well anymore. Once you lose your head, because it's in the wrong place, you lose your cranial rhythm. The craniosacral continuity is gone, and the hypothalamic intelligence is denied. That doesn't mean you rush to ER, but it means you degenerate, and we just call that aging. It's not aging. It's the loss of structural integrity as the head moves forward. Clenchers. What we call aging, it's not aging, and that you can do much. Anyone that's listened to this show, if you haven't, and you're new to the show, get on the websites. Look at anything related to any of these subjects. I slam this endlessly. The head doesn't have to come forward as you age. You don't have to clench. And the fibrosis that occurs between the occiput and C1, go to picture 38. Occiput atlas axis. That whole area becomes fibrotic. Go to picture number 39. The musculature deep from occiput C1, C2 becomes fibrotic. And that fibrotic nature, the fibrosis there, keeps those bones compressed and out of place. And that crushes vagal outflow. Now, everything from head trauma to anterior head carriage to clenching to anxiety to depression to all the problems of the soul destroy the natural vibration of the cranium, and the hypothalamus suffers. It doesn't receive, it doesn't integrate, and it doesn't spit out commands with precision, speed, and accuracy, and everything starts getting screwed up. That's what I see when I look at someone with low thyroid. That's what I see when I look at someone that's adrenally exhausted. That's what I see when I look at somebody who has no libido. If you want to be seen like that, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Does this sound like a straightforward approach? Well, it is. And it's going to ask you to take the steps. The steps, the full, comprehensive, integrated step. And why it's specific to you is because your integration is different than your neighbor's integration. You may have to integrate the same 30 variables differently than the next guy. It's going to be the same 30 or 40 variables, but the mix of it is different person to person. How many combinations of 30 numbers can you have? Billions, right? Well, that's the art of it. To integrate the 30 variables, but it's the same 30 variables. For one person, you're low thyroid because you clench. For another person, you're low thyroid because you stress. For another person, you're low thyroid because you've had head trauma. And so on and so forth. If the pelvis is retracted, if the pelvis has been broken, if the sacrum is fused to L5, and the sex drive is gone, well, what do you think happened? If a woman is torn from vagina to anus and 5 years after her third kid, she has no libido, well, where would we be looking? How can we overlook all of this and simply give you a cream or an herb or a drug? How can we do that? We do it all the time. And if we don't do it, we don't integrate it correctly. 714-850-1007 if you want an integrated approach. Now let's look at picture 37. Picture 37. Those arrows trace the flow of cerebral spinal fluid. The cerebral spinal fluid cleans the brain. I'm looking, I didn't put it on the site today, but Scientific American, the one that's out right now, March 2016, Scientific American, the brain's garbage disposal. It's not on the site. See it at your newsstands. Look it up on Google. Scientific American, March 2016, the brain's garbage disposal. It's all about the flow of cerebral spinal fluid. Scientists today are just coming to terms with the fact that the brain detoxes itself while you sleep based on the flow of the cerebral spinal fluid. Research today now shows. This has been around for 10,000 years. This is as old as the Bible. It's not new. It's new to scientists. That's the shame of it. It's new to scientists. It's newsworthy. It's on Scientific American this month. That Chinese guy I showed you in the beginning, his lineage understood this thousands of years ago. The integrity of the cranium, the craniosacral flow, determines the flow of the cerebral spinal fluid. If you clench, if you've had head trauma, if you've had any type of breath issue, if you're in bad emotional states, if you have anterior head carriage, there's five things I just mentioned. There's many more. If you have a bad bite, if your bite doesn't have symmetry, there's number six. And you're looking for answers to your glandular system. Now you're getting them, specific to you. The flow of the cerebral spinal fluid cleans the brain. It is how you prevent reverse neurodegeneration, but you've got to get the flow through that cranium going. Now, Siele, picture 45, Hans Siele, the stress of life, he understood this. Picture 46, Hans Siele, picture 46, he, with animals, measured under stress, the glands inflame. They get bigger, and then they shrink fibrotically. So first stage of the alarm of overworking the gland, they get big, and then they inflame, and then they scar, and then they shrink. It's a real thing. These impulses through the sympathetic autonomic nervous system control the glandular output. I think we understand. Move chi. Prana. New to the show? Get on the website. Come to the office, 714-850-1007. If you want to understand your glandular system, understand the electrical flow, summated in words like chi and prana and life force, it's a real physical experience. You guys have a great week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.